Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us in our window on the world today as we talk more about math and MRI scans. Stay tuned. Thanks for being with us as we do day two of this lesson about an experiment that is being carried on by Stanford Special Medical Team. And we have Ruth with us today. How are you, Ruth?
I am fine, thank you. And I think this article is very interesting, and it has interesting implications for parents.
And it's very challenging, too.
Yes, it is. Don't ask me to remember some of these words.
I can barely read some of them myself. But what about you, Campbell? Aren't they hard words?
They are, and I feel like my brain connections are growing as we speak.
Well, it's sharpening them up, that's for sure, right?
So your hippocampus is working overtime?
I guess so, yes. Or actually hippocampi. That's actually an interesting fact. We have two in our brains.
That's true.
Mm. Right. Well, there's a lot of things we have in our brains that we don't realize, but we're going to have to use them today as we start this lesson because it's kind of innovation, it says. I don't know if it's innovation, but it's new ways of looking at things, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And this particular study that was done in Stanford looked at children's brains and how the different connections in the brain was connected to their ability to improve with tutoring help.
Right. I think it was interesting because usually we use things like IQ and previous test scores to determine a child's intelligence or a child's ability to learn. But I think this research is now challenging that idea.
Well, and we learned some good phrases, though, besides the medical part. You know, and I like the very way this thing started when it comes to math. I would say when it comes to advanced lessons, would you call this a difficult lesson?
Well, it depends on whether I'm a doctor or not.
That's true. And when it comes to having people on the TV, on the radio, I think Ruth is a good one to have on either one, don't you, Campbell?
I think she's very good.
And when it comes to TV, I think of Campbell because he's always on Let's Talk.
That's right. And so, we all know that that's a great program.
That's right. It's a great way to start learning English.
So when it comes to listeners, you are our favorite because you are advanced. So let's give everybody a big hand. Thanks
Yay!
For coming back today and joining us and getting through this lesson with us. And we're going to learn more about this research. So give us a little brief kind of a warm-up what we're talking about, Ruth.
Well, as we said, we're talking about an MRI scan, which means you're looking at what happens inside the brain. And this particular study was done on two groups of third graders. One received tutoring and one did not. And then there was improvement shown, and they wanted to find out what factors showed or predicted how much improvement the child would make. And they happened to notice that this hippocampus and its interaction with other parts of the brain was a great predictor, more so than IQ or math scores.
Mm-hmm. So they had to have two groups to see this, and they tutored one and the other one they didn't. And then they found out that across the board, or for all of the students that were tutored, they found there were different levels of improvement, didn't they?
That's right. They found that there was an improvement between 8% and 198%.
But they all had some improvement, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. We see that tutoring does help, you know, yeah. But how much is what we're studying about?
So they wanted to see what factors, what things could help predict how much the child would improve. And that's why they did this particular MRI scan. And they discovered that an active hippocampus was more important in predicting how well the children would do after the tutoring.
And, you know, when you think about things like the blood and stuff that we have going through our body, I guess some blood has more oxygen than others because they talked about oxygenated blood. Oxygen is what we get from our lungs. And of course, the blood goes through the lungs and picks up oxygen. And you have to breathe some good air to get good oxygen in your lungs so they can get it to your brain, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And of course, that blood then carries the oxygen to all the cells throughout the body. And then when it gets down there, it trades the cell, the oxygen, for the carbon dioxide to bring it back and get rid of it.
You know, it's kind of like in our bodies, we have all these little supply trucks, like all these stores that sell things. They have people come around and give them the goods to sell and develop. Well, that's what our blood does. It carries stuff all around for our body to use. It's pretty important.
Yeah, every time I study about the body and the brain, I'm just amazed at how it's all put together. It's just...
how a baby is formed with all these different things, that all these connectors and the brains and all the different parts of our body. Isn't it amazing? The lungs, everything.
It is amazing, and I thought if it was left to me to try to put it all together to make it work, it would never work.
Right.
You think of what a person's body is just one about the most amazing things there is.
I would agree.
So we're going to go on today for day two, and we're going to find out more about this experiment and how it works and whether it's going to really be very important to us or not. I don't know. But it's nice to know what is going on. Mm-hmm. We have to be in the know anyway,
exactly.
Don't we?
And that's why we listen to Advanced.
That's why we listen to Advanced. So we want to start out by just reading the very first paragraph, which is not very long. Let's read that first.
Like watching electricity flow between two points, the machine reveals how much one section of the brain is wired to other parts, much like you might measure the synchronization of two different clocks, Menon said. The more tightly linked they are, the more learning benefits we see in these children.
We see that our body has the blood that goes through and gives it oxygen. The blood cleanses. It does a lot of things. But we also have kind of an electrical flow. We all know that. If you touch something, sometimes you get a shock. We've got a lot of electricity in our body, too.
Yes, we do. And this was another thing the study looked at, was watching the electricity flow, meaning go from one part to another. And that revealed or showed how much one section of the brain is wired to the other parts, how well it was connected to the other parts of the brain.
So our brains are kind of wired, but they have electricity and they have blood. So I guess we need both of them.
Yeah, I guess that's how we make connections and how our body functions.
Right. Like yesterday we talked about the word circuitry, which is this whole idea of how the wires connect to let the electricity flow from one part to another.
Well, and then it talks about how to get these two things working together, you have to kind of synchronize them. Like, you know, I always hear people say when they're going to have something's very important at a certain time, synchronize your watches. That means your watch has to be exactly the same as mine. Mm-hmm. Synchronize things. And synchronize is a good word to know. We might want to learn that one.
Yes, it is. Synchronize is the verb, which means two things working exactly precisely together. And here we have the word synchronization, which is the noun form, saying that you've already made these two things work together completely exactly alike.
Mm-hmm. So right. Here we're measuring the connection between these two parts of the brain and how well these connections have been made.
So if the connections are good, then it says the more tightly they're linked together, the more learning benefits they can see in children. Just like if you have a radio and it's not very linked very well together, you get a lot of static coming in, you know. But
right. But
if it's well linked together, it comes in really clear.
Right.
So it's very important for electrical circuits to be quite tightly linked together, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is, because when they're tightly linked, they can communicate or trade their electricity or information very quickly and very easily, so the flow is very smooth. And I think what they're saying is by looking at how the children's brains interact, the parts interact with each other, they can show how much learning is going to happen.
Now, does that have something to do with when we're learning, we don't just memorize things, but we also have to know how to use things? Is that connected to that, too, do you think?
Well, that's part of learning. It's just a different aspect of it, I think.
Right. To make decisions, you have to get the information, but you have to connect with what you feel and what you know. And a lot of that is done up in your brain, don't you think?
Right. And I also think it helps with the ability to retrieve the information you learn, right? If you have the better connections, you're able to retrieve it faster, able to learn things faster, and you're able to respond faster.
That's true.
Yes, and remember them and being able to reproduce them.
Right, especially in a test situation. Mm-hmm. If you have to take a test, it's important to be able to recall information and be able to reproduce what you've learned.
Okay. So we want to produce successful learners. This is what we try to do in education, and parents teach their kids, and we teach them not just knowledge, but we have to teach them making decisions and things like that. And we want them to learn. If a child doesn't learn, it's just too bad. They don't grow. They don't develop. So we want to produce successful learners, don't we, Ruth?
Yes, we do. And I think that's part of the reason they did this study, is to help us understand how people learn and what the predictors are of good learning, so hopefully we can help everyone improve.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who has a child, they spend a lot of money on their education. They put them into cram schools and hire tutors, and they do everything they can to make that child have all of the benefits they can. And we spend a lot of time and money and effort on children, which is good, but we want them to be successful learners. If they're not, they won't be a very successful person or citizen, will they?
No, they won't. And there has to be a basic level of competence in order for them to function in society.
Right. And I think learning is a basic skill that everybody needs. I mean, you know, you don't just learn in school. You need to continue to learn no matter what age you are.
Okay. So let's read on down through line 15 of the next column.
Producing successful learners. The fact that a brain scan, rather than IQ or math scores, could predict how students would respond to tutoring also surprised Michael Posner, a cognitive neuroscientist at the University of Oregon, who was not involved in the study. For me, the intriguing speculation is that the reason these areas are better in these children is not because they were born better, but because they had acquired important learning skills at an earlier age, and not necessarily mathematical skills, Posner said. It might say that our early education should be designed to make the child a successful learner, no matter what he or she learns. Menon said he hopes that someday brain MRIs, which would cost parents upward of $500, will help guide educators about the best approaches for teaching math. But Kobad Bugwadia, owner and director of the Mathnasium Tutoring Center in California, isn't so sure.
So this is some very interesting information here, too.
Yes, we just discussed that we wanted to produce successful learners. That it will help us get people into society better. And it was interesting to see that a brain scan, rather than the IQ or the math scores, could predict how well the students would respond to the tutoring.
But of course, most people have IQ tests, as sometimes schools give them and so forth. And they're a lot easier and they're a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. They're usually free,
right.
IQ tests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a brain scan costs $500. And I don't know if it's going to be really worth it or not. But they're just saying is that if you really want to know, don't just count on the IQ, because if your IQ is lower, sometimes people's IQ is lower, but they're very good at some kind of art or drawing or something, but their IQ isn't so good. They don't memorize well. Mm-hmm. So IQs don't tell you everything.
They don't, and I think that's one thing, especially as parents, we need to remember, is there's more aspects of a child than just their IQ, their intelligence.
Right.
And we need to maximize whatever gifts the child has and not be upset that they're not what we think they should be.
Right. And I think there's different measures of success as well. And definitely, you know, being able to do well in school is one measure, but there's also other things that – other factors that can determine how successful a person can be.
And I was also thinking that this study just focused on this one particular brain scan, but there's all kinds of other factors that could affect – this study that they didn't even mention. So who knows whether this is their, you know, it's only this simple. There's a lot more complex things involved.
So it's good, you know, to know that they are doing these things, but don't base everything on the results of some of these tests. Just something to look over. You know, and you notice that this man here, Michael Posner, He said he was surprised to find this. Now, who is he anyway? I don't think he was involved in the study. He just read about it, right?
He
right.
just read about it.
What did he say?
Well, he is a cognitive neuroscientist. That's
what a
his job.
Dave, do you know anybody who was a cognitive neuroscientist? I don't know that I know anybody like that.
Not that I know of.
I don't think we have any here on our staff, do we?
No.
Okay.
When I see the word cognitive, I always think of the brain and
right.
learning. And neuroscience, of course, neuro means with your nerves and your neurology. So he's studying how the brain is wired and how the connections work together. So, well, of course, he'd read the study.
Neurosurgeons are those that operate on the brain, neurosurgeons,
right?
Right,
exactly.
But neuroscientists, so they're signing this out. So he's from the University of Oregon, and he wasn't involved in the study, but he said that, what did you say about this thing?
Well, he says that for him, the intriguing speculation is that the reason these areas are better in these children is not because they were born better, but because they had acquired important learning skills at an earlier age.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, now, intriguing, of course, is a word that you might or might not know, but it's a pretty common word.
It's a very, very good word because it just means something is very, very interesting. The possibilities that you consider when you think about something excite you.
Right. If you want to use it in the past tense, you say, I was intrigued by all of the things that happened. You know, you were so excited about it.
Do you think anybody's intrigued with this article, Doris?
I don't know if they are. They're wondering, you know, that when it comes to advanced articles, why did you do this? Well, maybe it would be intriguing to medical personnel.
Right. And actually, the word after intriguing is also interesting. Speculation, which means to guess or consider what might be the reasons mm-hmm. behind something. And I know scientists like to do that. They like to speculate what might be the reason or what might be the result of some study or another.
And sometimes people will think, well, it's in your genes. It's the way you were born. It says not because some people were born better. Can you be born better or worse? What does that mean, to be born better anyway?
I guess it means that you have certain things that you were born with, maybe a bigger brain, bigger parts of the brain that work better.
Or a higher IQ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's true that some kids do have higher IQs, are born that way, whether it's better or not, but I guess it is. But be born better means with better equipped to study, let's put it that way.
Right. And I think the his point is making here is maybe some of these kids had more advantages when they were born. They had better IQ. They had better opportunities. They had better anything that comes when you're born. But this might not be as important as these learning skills that you acquire after you're born.
Right.
Right.
Well, because they had acquired these very important learning skills at a very early age, but not necessarily mathematical skills. So there's other skills that kids learn.
So to me, as a parent looking at this, all right, yes, it is intriguing about this brain scan, but I would like to know what these important learning skills are that they learned at the earlier age. In other words, how could I then teach my child these particular learning skills and give them an advantage?
Right, because earlier we were talking about how it's not so much this, the size does show a little bit of a difference, but it's more about the connections, right? So when at an earlier age, as children are learning, they're making these connections, and these connections are what allow them to be able to allow them to learn better in the future too.
Right, and it does say, you know, that could say this, that the early education should be designed to make them a successful learner. So in other words, this early education, a lot of people are into it now. Mm-hmm. They said in Japan, some kids have to learn to read English when they're 2 or 3 years old or something. Mm-hmm. You know, but these kind of things, people all want their kid to learn well. But it has to be designed to make them a successful learner. And sometimes we put things on kids that are not helpful to them. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make them successful. It makes them so that they hate learning sometimes.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. And I think it's important to know what a child – how a child is designed, you know, and what they're good at. And for us, you know, we're constantly being told about, because our daughter right now has some special needs. So they're constantly telling us, oh, before a certain age, she needs to get this training before. Because there's something about a young brain, you know, mm-hmm. when they're still right. forming those connections, that if you can get in there at that golden time, their brain can really adjust in an amazing way.
And I think the point is not necessarily what skills they learn, but the fact that these learning skills, in other words, how to learn, mm-hmm. how to take in new information, what to do with it, and they want to, one might say as he goes on, that early education is designed to make children successful learners. That's what we need to look at rather than just the brain scan itself.
That's true. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think a lot of things like, Ruth, I'm sure you read a lot to your daughter when she was little, and I think reading to children, playing games with them where they learn something, it's not always just sitting down and learning like we think of in school. Learning has to do with a lot of different things.
And we've talked before in Advanced and Studio Classroom about learning styles. People learn in different ways. Some people learn better by reading. Some people learn better by listening. Some people learn better by doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to take that into account as well.
So anyway, these are just, you know, when you go into research, you get into all of these different things involved. But this guy, Menon, what we're talking about here, he said that he hopes that someday that these brain MRIs would help guide educators about the best way for teaching math, because a lot of kids don't like math. Some are very good and they love it. Don't they say that boys usually do better at math than girls? They found that. I thought they took tests about that.
Well, but then again, they don't want to say why that is, and they're trying to figure out how they can help girls like math more, because a lot of the problem is that girls don't like math.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. If they have to take these brain scans, they would cost the parents more, upward of $500. So I'm not sure if many parents are going to rush out to do this.
Well, especially because that will just show you what is happening, but it doesn't tell you why it's happening or how you can improve it.
Right.
Because that would be the only reason to do it.
And what to do with this information that
exactly.
you receive. Yeah. I think definitely more research needs to be done on this subject to be able to figure out, okay, now we have this information, what do we do with it?
Mm-hmm. Right. And Menon, who did the study, he has, his approach on it. But there's another man, and I don't know what nationality he is, but I've never seen that name before.
I would guess that he's probably of East Indian
or
ancestry.
African or something?
No, I would say he's Indian, most likely.
Kodad Bagwedia. Anyway, mm-hmm. he's the owner and director of a mathnasium tutoring center, and I've never heard of those either.
Well, I think that's just the name of his tutoring business. In other words, he has a business of tutoring children. Children come into his mathnasium, and they want to improve their math skills, so he is helping them with that.
So he's not so sure about it, so let's see what he thinks about it. So let's read the rest of the lesson.
He said he thinks the results of the study are useful for understanding how the structure of the brain influences learning, but stops short of envisioning the scans as a way to predict math performance. Maybe how quickly children learn could be different, said Bagwadia, who left his job as a successful Silicon Valley electrical engineer to help children shed their fears about math. But at some point, I strongly believe that they all have abilities to do well if given the right tools and opportunities.
So this man, Kobad Bagwadia, he is the owner of a tutoring business, and he thinks the results of the studies are useful for understanding the structure of the brain. And I would agree with that. I mean, it's interesting. It's intriguing how the brain works together, but it stops short of something.
Now, that's a very good expression, to stop short. It means it does not reach its goals. It's helpful, but it doesn't really do everything that they think it should do.
Right. And in this case, it's envisioning or being able to understand or predict the way that children are going to respond to tutoring and be good or bad at math performance.
Mm-hmm. What did he say about that?
I think basically he's saying just, okay, we have this information, but, well, it's not helpful in showing us, well, how do we help these children then? What do we do to help them improve their math? He says maybe how quickly children learn could be different. He says, but at some point, I strongly believe that they all have abilities to do well if given the right tools and opportunities.
So I like his attitude, don't you?
I do too. And I think that is the main point, is you would hate to think that parents would go and do a brain scan and go, oh, your hippocampus is not functioning very well, therefore you're never going to learn math, so I'm not going to send you to a tutor.
Mm-hmm.
And this man is saying everybody can learn.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the brain functions, how the information is transferred, but that doesn't mean that you can't learn or you won't be good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can if they have the right tools.
He's a very interesting man. You'll notice here that he was a successful engineer, electrical engineer in Silicon Valley, which we all know where that is, south of San Francisco, where all of the web things and the research is being done on computers and so forth. He left that job because he wanted to help children shed their fears about math. So that shows that he's concerned about it. And children certainly do have fears, and they need to get rid of them. When you shed something, it means that it just get rid of it, drop it, right?
Yes, and it comes from the idea that an animal will shed or lose its fur for various reasons. And I see this word a lot, especially when people are talking about dieting. They want to shed pounds.
Oh,
they want to get rid of the pounds.
Right.
And here, these children need to shed or get rid of their fear of mathematics.
But I like the fact that he feels strongly believes that they all have abilities to do well if you give them the right tools. And I think that's the most important sentence in this whole article.
Right, I would agree. I think it's basically summarizing what we've been saying, that just because maybe your hippocampus isn't as big or isn't as well connected, it doesn't mean that you can't learn. There are ways for you to learn, and everyone should learn.
Right, and it comes back to the point of it doesn't say what kind of tutoring this was.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say what methods they use, because some methods work better for some kids than others.
That's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what we've really been talking about is the fact that people are trying to find ways to help kids learn better. But whatever it is, I think a lot of encouragement and help and love and helping them when they're not very good at something is good. And also they have to find the right tools, and they may not be the same for each child.
They're not the same for each child because everybody learns differently. And I would agree with Mr. Bhagwatia that this is an interesting concept. It's one thing that makes you go, that's interesting. But now what do I do with the information?
Right, exactly. So I think, like I said earlier, there needs to be more research done. And, okay, we have this information. Now what do we do with it?
Right. So remember that all children, if they have the right tools, can learn. So encourage your child, and let's encourage ourselves to keep on with using our brains and making good connections back and forth as we study different subjects. And thanks for being with us in advanced class. We have a different kind of subject tomorrow, so we expect all of you to be here with us, and we hope you have a great day today. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Take care.